A Noise Downstairs, written by Linwood Barclay, read by Jared Zeus. The Volvo was heading north out of Milford, beyond the houses and grocery stores and countless other industrial parks and down winding country roads canopied by towering trees. At one point, they passed a police car parked on the shoulder, but they were both cruising along under the limit. Paul began to wonder whether Kenneth had any real destination in mind. The Volvo's brake lights would flash as he neared a turnoff, but then the car would speed up until the next one. Kenneth, again, appeared to be looking for something. Suddenly, it appeared Kenneth had found it. The car pulled off the pavement. The lights died. Paul, about a tenth of a mile back, could see no reason why Kenneth had stopped there. There was no driveway, no nearby home that Paul could make out. Paul briefly considered driving right on by, but then thought, fuck this cloak and dagger shit. I need to see if he's okay. So, Paul hit the blinker and edged his car onto the shoulder, coming to a stop behind the Volvo wagon just as Kenneth was getting out. His door was open, the car's interior bathed in weak light. Kenneth froze. He had the look of an inmate heading for the wall, caught in the guard tower spotlight. Paul quickly powered down his window and stuck his head out. Kenneth, it's me. Kenneth squinted. It's Paul. Paul Davis. It took a second for Kenneth to process that. Once he had, he walked briskly toward Paul's car, using his hand as a visor to shield his eyes from Paul's headlights. As Paul started to get out of the car, leaving the engine and headlights on, Kenneth shouted, Jesus, Paul! What are you doing here? Paul didn't like the sound of his voice. Agitated, on edge. He met Kenneth halfway between the two cars. I was pretty sure that was your car. Thought you might be having some trouble. No need to mention he'd been following him for miles.
I'm fine, no problem.
Kenneth said, clipping his words. He twitched oddly, as though he wanted to look back at his car but was forcing himself not to.
Were you following me?
He asked. Not really, Paul said. Kenneth saw something in the hesitation.
How long?
What?
How long were you following me?
I really wasn't. Paul stopped. Something in the back of the Volvo had caught his eye. Between the headlights of his car and the Volvo's dome light, it was possible to see what looked like mounds of clear plastic sheeting bunched up above the bottom of the tailgate window.
It's nothing, Kenneth said quickly.
I didn't ask, Paul said, taking a step closer to the Volvo.
Paul, get in your car and go home. I'm fine, really.
Paul only then noticed the dark smudges on Kenneth's hands. Splotches of something on his shirt and jeans.
Jesus, are you hurt? I'm okay.
That looks like blood. When Paul moved toward the Volvo, Kenneth grabbed for his arm, but Paul shook him off. Paul was a good 15 years younger than Kenneth, and regular matches in the college's squash courts had kept him in reasonably good shape. Paul got to the tailgate and looked through the glass.
Jesus fucking Christ. He said, suddenly cupping his hand over his mouth.
Paul thought he might be sick.
Kenneth, standing behind him, said, Let me explain.
Paul took a step back, looked at Kenneth, wide-eyed.
Who are they?
Kenneth struggled for words.
Paul,
open it,
Paul said.
What?
Open it,
he said, pointing to the tailgate. Kenneth moved in front of him and reached for the tailgate latch. Another interior light came on, affording an even better look at the two bodies running lengthwise, both wrapped in that plastic, heads to the tailgate, feet up against the back of the front seats. The rear seats had been folded down to accommodate them as if they were sheets of plywood from Home Depot. While their facial features were heavily distorted by the opaque wrapping and the blood, it was clear enough that they were both female. Adults. Two women. Paul stared,
stunned his mouth open. His earlier feeling that he would be sick had been displaced by shock.
I was looking for a place,
Kenneth said calmly.
What?
Hadn't found a good spot yet. I'd been thinking in those woods there before you came along.
Paul noticed at that point the shovel next to the body of the woman on the left.
I'm gonna turn off the car,
Kenneth said.
It's not good for the environment.
Paul suspected Kenneth would hop in and make a run for it, with the tailgate open if he floored it. The bodies might slide right out onto the shoulder. But Kenneth was true to his word. He leaned into the car, turned the key to the off position. The engine died. Paul wondered who the women could be. He felt numb that this could not be happening. A name came into his head. He didn't know why exactly, but it did. Charlotte. Kenneth rejoined him at the back of the car. Did the man seem calmer? Was it relief at being caught? Paul gave him another look, but his eyes were drawn back to the bodies.
Who are they?
Paul said, his voice shaking.
Tell me who they are.
He couldn't look at them any longer and turned away.
I'm sorry about this,
Kenneth said. Paul turned.
You're sorry about...
He saw the shovel Kenneth wielded, club-like for no more than a tenth of a second before it connected with his skull. Then, everything went black.